You know, these final hours of being a senator for you, I mean, how do you find this? I mean, because you weren't, I mean, you made the decision to quit. It's not like you weren't reelected. I mean, how do you feel about this, Senator?
Well, many people say to me, well, I bet you're counting the days, you know, to get out of there. You know, there's some of that, I guess, but anytime you do something over a long period of time, especially as you get older, when you quit, there's a lot of emotion involved. You know, obviously tells you that you're getting older. And secondly, there were, you know, there's a lot of good things about this job, that, you know, the ability to work with people. I enjoy that, obviously, to be able to help some people. Obviously I wouldn't stay with it this long if there weren't things that you got a lot of self-satisfaction out of. I have mixed emotions, really, about leaving, but it is time. It truly is time. You know, the state's in just terrible shape. It is frustrating to leave it that way, and I'm not a young guy anymore, and I think it's I always said I quit in time, that I still can do a few things, and I hope that's the case.
And I, too, in that respect as well. But if I look at this in the starkest, most aggressive way, I can say the Democrats wanted to get rid of you, that they drew you out of the map. They drew your home out of the map. Somebody wanted you gone, didn't they? I mean, if you were looking, and I know that's a reasonably aggressive and stark way, and you're a pretty tactful individual, but, I mean, when I look at it this way, here we are, a senator with your reputation, your standing in the district, and then they draw your home residence out of a district. Clearly somebody wanted you gone.
Well, I don't know whether it was real personal. I get along with most people here in Springfield. I think it was just a matter of, that's the way it is. That's the ugliness of politics, and certainly the ugliness of Illinois politics. You know, whoever can draw the map tries to see to it that they're in control for the next 10 years, and you get rid of as many people as you can. And I happen to be one of those people, certainly in that last map. You know, that's why we desperately need to change that, not for me or anything, but just in general. Why should a party, Republican or Democrat, be able to simply, if they're able to draw the map, why should they be able to guarantee almost that they will be in control of both houses of the legislature for the next 10 years? That's just wrong. And hopefully the state needs so much reform, and I don't know how finally maybe people get so fed up with it that they will force the legislators to do that. But right now it's not happening. Madigan is still running the show. Pretty well what he wants, and it's been that way for as long as I've been here.
It's interesting, because when you look at the stories written about the Senate proposal in relationship to the budget, you see Cullerton Redonio basically coming out and saying, look, we had to do something because Madigan and Rauner can't get along well enough. I mean, they literally pointed out that dysfunction was the prompter for the Senate's action.
Well, no doubt that, you know, I think that John Cullerton has been under the wing of Madigan so long that he finally, I think, is just tired of it, and certainly didn't want to take a lot more of the blame for that, and I think that's, I'm certainly praise him for that. Certainly Chris Redonio is a person, as she said the other day, I didn't come here to simply put up with chaos. And so both John and Chris Cullerton, the president of the Senate and the minority leader of the Senate, decided we're going to get together and we're going to introduce some legislation that we think would help solve the problems of this state. Now, there are some really tough pills to swallow to do that. But you and I have talked about this a long time. It has gotten so bad that there will have to be some really difficult stuff done. Now, will legislators do that? In the end, I doubt it. You know, it's a matter of how do you stay in power and how do you get reelected. And some of these things are so bitter, such as some of the tax increases that you're going to have. You can't get along without them right now. It's so deep, you have to dig your way out of it. You're probably going to have to borrow some money. And then you're going to have to hold the line. Holding the line may be the toughest part of it.
I think so.
There's such a demand for money here, especially coming out of Chicago. My goodness, I don't care how you pay for it. Let's just start a new program or enlarge a larger program, whether we have the money or not, and that's why we're in this in the position that we're in.
I literally had that vision last night when I'm looking at this, a 3.75 to 4.95 personal income tax, and I thought, look what the money that will bring in. Corporate tax, 5.25 to 7%. And then borrowing, as you alluded to, $7 billion. And I thought, you know what? They'll fall on that like a pack of hungry dogs. It'll evaporate. I mean, that because, see, there's this thing I call it the Luchtefel litmus test. All right? This is something that after 2 years of talking to you, that there's a litmus test for whether it should be done or not. And you said, look, yeah, you and I, I've asked you every month for the last 4 years, probably, Senator, are we going to see an income tax? And you said this almost every single time in response. I'm not going to vote one, and I don't think we should pass one until we've seen something for cutting costs. Something to illustrate to the Illinois taxpayer that we're holding up our end of the bargain and we're trying to do the best for them. And when I look at this Senate plan, I don't see that.
Well, that would have to come in years to come, holding the line. You know what I'm saying? That's the toughest part. Is, you know, if you do those sorts of things and you set the state on a path at least to try to get back to where we can pay our bills. But then you have to hold the line for probably years, not just 1 year. You're going to have to hold the line of no new spending, and that new money goes to pay the bills. And that takes some guts. And many times in the legislature, you know, I often say to you, when's the last time you saw a legislator? Legislators do really difficult stuff over a long period of time. It just doesn't happen. You know, they want to get reelected, and people are not very patient. Obviously, they'll elect whoever promises them. You know, I won't do this or I will do this. And sure enough, if a legislator does those things, those tough issues, they won't be, you know, it'll be hard for them to get reelected and stay elected to do the tough stuff. So it is, and that's why it's so hard to fix things once you get in the position that we are in. You know, I've been saying for the last 8-10 years, we're headed for a disaster. We're in that disaster. Now, how do you get out of it? It that's the tough part. That truly is the tough part. I do believe what you saw yesterday was sort of a blueprint of some of the things that we need to do. But then you would have to have the discipline to hold the line. And of course, you know, with you know, Rahner, I think Rahner would hold the line. The governor can help do that. He can simply veto certain amounts of money out of the budget and to hold the line. But again, would he get reelected if he does that tough stuff?
Right. You know?
People are fickle.
$50 million he put in his own campaign fund.
Well, you know, it's still there. He didn't spend it yet.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's a matter of, I think he's serious about trying to get something here. And then over the next 4 years after that, hold the line enough to leave the state one that you can kind of be proud of. But again, we'll see what happens there. You know, I one thing you have to say, the guy has, most people who have lots of money don't want to spend it. And he has at least the courage to say, you know, I've got the money and I think it's important enough to spend it. And I think people ought to at least see that.
Yeah, like an old country boy from Oakville would say, put your money where your mouth is, boy.
He's certainly doing that.
Right? It scared the hell out of a bunch of Democrats, too.
Well, it does say that if you're coming after me, then you better be prepared to, I'm going to be here, and this is what you're up against. And, you know, we'll see what happens. A lot of things play out, but between whether he spends that money or not depends a lot on what happens in the next 2 years. Madigan doesn't want him. He wants to get rid of him, and that's one of the reasons that he refuses to even, you know, he's not part of this at all, and until he is, it's not going to happen, and it's going to be his way or no way, and so far he's proven that over a long period of time.
You know, in these closing hours of being a senator, I mean, I was kidding yesterday when I was speaking with Senator Forby that very often I realize I talk to you more often than I do members of my own family. I mean, I've literally talked to you at least 20, 30 minutes every month for in excess of 14 years. You know, I mean, when you realize that you start building, and I have a tendency not to forget stuff, and so it kind of builds up over time. And I can tell you the period of time, whenever I have the opportunity to speak for you, I look forward to it. Because you may have been a coach, you may have been a senator, but I've always considered you a thinker and really a philosopher, and quite frankly, one that is maybe a little more honest in some tight spots. Because on more than one, somebody asked me about you this week, and I said, "How many other senators do you that come out in the air and say this redistricting problem? Hey, look, the Democrats aren't the only ones that do it. The Republicans do it too." I use that as an example of you coming right out and saying, "Look, this is a problem across the board." You've alluded to it in this interview. I mean, this to you has got to, you know, because you talked about change at a certain age, you know, it's time to go. What they say that this feeling that that you're going to be experiencing is really grief because the massive changes in your life are going to be changed. And then earlier in this interview, you said, "Look, one of the things I love doing most is helping people." When I met you the very first night, it was a charity fundraiser introduced by then State Representative Mike Boss, who took you over to the table and introduced me to Senator Luchtefeld. And at that time, you were working on legislation in Springfield to stop the use of stingers in prison cells so that hot, boiling-like fluid could not be poured into the faces thrown into the faces of prison guards. I mean, when I look at the body of work, Senator, you've been out there carrying the weight, swinging the hammer for a long time in a lot of different ways.
Well, thank you for that. All I've tried to do is work at the job. I got this job as an older person. I didn't have to have the job. I decided that, hey, I'm just going to work at it, and I'm going to try to be honest, and if that doesn't work, well, they need to pick somebody else, and that's all I've tried to do. You know, I'm a long way from a philosopher or anything like that. I just think I've seen the way the state is in the direction it's going, and it's frustrating to watch. There are certain things in politics that are, that you'd like to change. Democracy is the best form of government I've ever seen, but it still has its problems. There's no doubt that that a lot of times it's about power, and you and I've talked about that. How do I get in power, and then how do I stay there? And sometimes how you stay there is not good for the people necessarily, and that's where we're at right now. How Madigan stays there is not obviously been good for the state of Illinois, but it has certainly worked for him, and there's no doubt that he's been able to stay in power. But again, another thing I would like to leave you with, Tom, is I contend, and I say this over and over to anybody who would listen, unless we change the atmosphere in this state towards business, unless they want to come here, we're in a downward spiral that we can't get out of. And I guess that's what Ronner would like to do, and that is create an atmosphere that businesses will go where they can make money, and you can't blame them for that. And so again, you have to create that atmosphere that this is a good place to be. People will follow the businesses, and the state could dig its way out. It's the only way we get out of it. Otherwise, we continue to be in that spiral. I don't see that happening right now. Right now, that's the fight between Madigan and Ronner. So far, nothing's broken loose. Whether it will, again, keep in mind that whoever wins the next governorship will have something to do with how the map is drawn, and that's why Madigan would like to get rid of this governor in 2018, and of course, the governor would like to stay for 2018 through 22. We'll see who wins that battle, and we'll also see in the end, will there be something to set this state straight? Again, that's frustrating. A lot of people say you can fix anything. Well, you can if you have the discipline to do it, and so far that's not been the case.
And look at this. Two times you talked about it. I have little internal names so I have for how I describe things because I don't have a real good education. So I call that the Great Wall problem. How do you have the self-discipline, the years that it takes to build the Great Wall in China? We couldn't build a wall across the state of Illinois because we don't have the will and the ability to focus and stay on message. And it's one of the biggest problems because if we did, we'd be listening to the founding fathers when they talked about the problems that we have because they took in those in consideration when they built this country. And they wanted civilian politicians. Well, now we have professional politicians, and this was all foreseen, and we still didn't react to it. Before I let you go today, I'm kind of a history nut, and I get on little kicks, and I've been on Roman history for about 10 years. Now I'm kind of moving on to English history, and I read about Sir Thomas More, who had his head cut off because he just wouldn't see things the way King Henry did. Wouldn't compromise. He was actually made the patron saint of politicians in 2000, which I think would have been John Paul. Didn't know that politicians needed a patron saint, but apparently they did, and they got one in 2000 because in the date that I believe he was killed. And he wrote a book before his death called Utopia. The utopian idea came from this guy, Utopia. And one of his characters in this book said, you cannot have politicians and you cannot vote for a politician who does not believe in God because he does not believe that anything more important exists outside of himself. Now, outside of the reference to God, which I do think is important, but for the sake of argument, do politicians need to have some type of belief? Is that really what you and I have been talking about, that this belief system has gone away? We only think about ourselves, because the outcome from this book is you cannot have a politician who serves the people if he does not understand there's something bigger than himself that he must serve.
Well, first of all, I believe that this nation was founded on Christian principles, and I don't think we need to get away from that. Certainly, if people believe, or anybody believes, that they're the ultimate and that there's not something out there greater than he or she is, then that I don't want that person running a country or being a politician. Hopefully that isn't the case. Hopefully people do believe that there's obviously, we're just a small speck in the world, in the history of this universe, and the more you realize that, I think the more humble you can become.
Yeah, I do too. And but here's the thing, you and I are specks, but in our positions we have responsibilities to discharge. We do, and you great deal more so than myself. And I think understanding that, I mean, whenever I listen to you talk today, and potentially, I didn't hear about what Senator Luchtefeld wanted. What I heard was what he thought he should do for the people of the state of Illinois. And if you don't listen closely to people, you may not understand. When you listen to a politician's speech and he says his I 72 times, who's he thinking about? He should be talking about me. He should be talking about you. He should be talking about the taxpayer. And as time goes by, if I listen closely, I notice that people talk about themselves a lot more than they do the people they're there to help.
You know, I've always been surprised at how they get away with that, because it does catch my attention a lot of times. If you're listening to some politician and he is always, I did this, I did that, and rather than we, or we need to do that for the people, whatever. I'm just amazed that they get away with that, but a lot of them do. And of course, I'm sure, all of us are somewhat self-centered. I guess anybody in politics has probably a pretty big ego, myself included. But again, you have to try to not let that get the best of you. I think most people here do. Try to keep that from happening. There are a lot of good people here. It's just that, most of them would like to, and I don't blame them. People want to be reelected, but sometimes I think we have to do this, Tom. We have to, as people, as citizens, we have to take some of the blame ourselves. We seem to want a lot. As you talk to people out there, I'd like you to do this and that and this, and in the process, it's we all seem to want more.
Yeah.
And finally, you say, how are we going to pay for that? But people do tend to vote for people who promise them the most, and that finally catches up with you. I always say this: that if this country goes under, it will be because we can't pay for all the things we want.
Yes. Debt
will finally get the best of us, and the state's getting close to that.
Yeah, if we did not spend money in such foolish fashions, imagine the great world we could build if we didn't blow the bucks the way we do these days. We could do incredible things, but we've spent our investment money, we've spent our seed money, and we're in debt. And they voted last week in the Senate, 51 yes, to increase the national debt by $9 trillion, I believe.
Wow.
So, in any event, Senator Luchtefeld, I can tell you from a personal standpoint, every time I get to talk to you, it's a treat. I found it educational. I hope that you would consider in the months and years to come to rejoin us, because I know you'll have an eye on Illinois politics, and I was hoping to kind of use you as an expert correspondent.
Well, I will follow what's going on, obviously, and I'd be happy to do that. If in any way I can help you, just have to let me know. I've enjoyed being on your programs. You are a knowledgeable person, and that makes it so much easier for me.
Senator, you just made my day.
Yes, Same is true, and you have a good one.
And enjoy these last few hours. I'm going to tell this story. I told this story in the grocery store Saturday and got a crowd, by the way. When a friend had come up and talked to me, and they'd ask when you were going to be on us. I'm going to have him on next week because I want to get him right here. And I told him the story about then House Representative Mike Boss, who was becoming congressman, and he pulled me off to the side one day and pulled me off. He said, "I want to talk to you a second." He says, I wonder if you understand Senator Luchtefeld and who he is, the coach, that when the coach goes to the Senate floor in the Springfield, in the Senate floor, when the coach speaks, everybody stops and listens, that your stature in the Senate is very well known. And from both sides of the aisle, that level of respect, an increasing rarity, and quite frankly, I think a privilege.
Well, thank you. Obviously, it's not. I'm not this great guy. I'm just a regular guy. I always have been. I can tell you this. One of the reasons they stop and listen is I've always said if you speak too often, people will listen to you less. And if I'm going to speak, I really want to have something to say, and I don't speak that often. And that is possibly one of the reasons that people listen a little more.
And once again, that humble shining truth, Senator Dave Luchtefeld. Well, Senator, really do appreciate it, sir. Thank you for your time. We'll talk again soon, okay?